In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. 2 full years have passed since Joseph interpreted the cupbearer's dreams. Now Pharaoh has 2 dreams. None of the wise men could understand it, for interpretation belongs only to God. So in this, the 3rd year, the cupbearer remembered Joseph, and Joseph was brought in to Pharaoh. God gave him the meaning. The dreams are one and the same. 7 years of prosperity followed by 7 years of severe famine. And then Joseph proceeded to tell Pharaoh what he should do. Store up 1/5 of the grain so that the people may have something to eat during the 7 years of famine. Pharaoh and all his officials thought this was a good idea. Then Pharaoh appointed Joseph to be in charge of the storing up of grain. He made him the right hand. He sat him down at the right hand of Pharaoh, in charge of all things except the throne. Nothing happened in all of Egypt without Joseph's approval. How blessed Egypt was to have such a godly man ruling over them, and for such a long time. Joseph is 30 at this time, and he lives to be 110. Perhaps now Joseph begins to see how God had ordered his life and had worked everything for the good of him and for the people that he would save. Jacob's beloved child, sold into slavery, unjustly condemned, imprisoned between 2 criminals, now exalted to the right hand of Pharaoh, far above every ruler and authority. Why? Because he worked hard to climb the ladder of success? No, it's a gift. It's solely a gift from God. And so Joseph remained humble. As he faithfully served his father, Potiphar, the warden, so now he faithfully serves Pharaoh. Never did he ask to go back to Egypt. Never did he beg to see his father, for he has been exalted into a position to serve. This wasn't about getting even with Mrs. Potiphar. It wasn't about his wants, his desires, his needs of seeing family and friends. This was about saving lives. Joseph was a faithful ruler because he cared solely for those people who were placed under him. So on the 3rd day, as Christ sat in his deepest humiliation, the Lord remembered. The Lord remembered Jesus and raised him from the dead. He broke off the bonds of his slavery and threw off the chains of imprisonment, and he was given the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. No longer in humility, no longer in suffering, no longer in pain. His flesh now shines with the glory that was his from all eternity. During his humiliation, his life on earth, it is hard to see him as true God. You get little glimpses in the miracles, but you don't see that halo shining around his head. And yet he is true God. Even as he suffers, dies, and is buried, he is true God. Now in his exaltation, it is hard to see him as true man. He is present everywhere. He knows all things, and he has the greatest power in heaven and on earth. And yet he still is true man, made like us in every way, now exalted to God's right hand. Everything Christ does and continues to do, he does as true God and true man. So it's your brother who sits at the right hand of God, far above every ruler and authority. Someone who is made like you in every way has the greatest power in heaven and on earth. For the right hand of God is not a specific location in heaven, but it is the position of greatest power and authority. Christ, your brother, has that office. As God, it was his from all eternity. As true man, it is given to him as a gift. He is exalted to serve. So his work is not done. He does not care for himself, his needs, his wants. He does not finally get back at those people who crucified him, but he is exalted to serve, to carry out the will of his good and gracious Father. Yes, the work of winning salvation is done. But now his work is the same as Joseph's, feeding people and saving lives. The storehouses of God's grace were packed full when Christ died. They were sanctified when he rose. Now ascended into glory, he opens them to feed God's people, to feed you, so that you may eat and live. There's a famine in this world, for there is nothing that can keep you alive here. There is nothing that can even keep you alive forever on this earth, much less forever in heaven. So God has given you a food. You go to Christ, even as Egypt had to go to Joseph for that food. And what he feeds you is too rich for angels. Forgiveness sits on your plate. Life rests before you. Salvation touches your lips. He does not ration it out as Joseph rationed out the grain. He does not give you only what you need for a day, a week, or a year, but he throws wide open the storehouses of that grace and bids you to come, take and eat, take and drink. He will never run out. He will never be empty. And so you go to him. You go to his holy supper to eat and drink, and there you gather with people from all walks of life. Think of the different places that each of you were born and how God has gathered us together into one holy church from every nation under one Savior. The nations came to Joseph for food. The nations now go to Christ for eternal food. Join them. Gather with them, for where else can you eat bread at no cost and drink wine at no charge? In times of hardship, go to him and he will keep you alive. In times of joy, celebrate by eating his food and drinking his wine, for it gives you joys beyond imagination. He rules all things in heaven and on earth so that you would come here and eat and drink. No one is greater than he. No one is wiser than he. Nothing happens in this entire universe apart from his knowledge. He knows and controls all things. So who better to rule all things than your brother? Who better to rule all things than the very one who sacrificed himself for your forgiveness? Who loved you more than he loved his own life? Joseph did nothing for himself, not even as he is exalted. Everything he did was to serve someone else. So also your Lord did nothing for himself. But everything he does and continues to do is to serve you, so that you too may go where he now is. So everything must work out for your good. I don't know how, I don't know when, but it must work out for your good. Perhaps, like Joseph, you will be able to look back in a few years and see how God was training you for something great. Perhaps not. Perhaps you will have to wait till heaven. But that's the goal anyways, isn't it? Heaven. So Jacob and the brothers came to Joseph. They bowed down before him, and he fed them. He kept them alive by feeding them until God decided to bring them out of that foreign country and into the promised land. You go to your brother, and you bow down in worship before him. And he feeds you. He keeps you alive in this foreign country until God, in his perfect time and infinite wisdom, calls you out of this foreign land and into the promised land of heaven. And he will. It won't be that much longer. The end is in sight. The Son is exalted. Your brother rules forever and ever. Never again will he suffer. Never again will he hurt. Never again will he be in need. He rules in glory. He lives in glory. He lives and reigns over all things to work out everything for your good, so that you too may be exalted to his heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.